Blog Talk Radio.
Call me Little Bo Beef, I'm out here shining. For the lost sheep, I'm out here grinding. I ain't talking cheese, I'm out here mining. Looking for diamonds, kingdom business I'm mining. Trying to wake you up from the lullaby rhyming. Never can't touch this heat, pantomime. He is a liar, so said the lion Judah. Shelter in my protector, running to him be faster than a puma. Holy is a wave, repping the ancient of days. Christ is a big cool homie.
All right. got me singing the words to the, you know what I'm saying, while we're going through the show, getting it ready, man. This is
Shalom,
brothers and sisters, nation of Israel. You know, we like, welcome everybody back to another episode of Bible Talk Radio. I'm your host, Son of God. With me is Hostess Mashallah and Dr. Kowal.
Shalom.
And, we the week goes fast. We notice, man, weeks have been going fast. Days come in, out. You know what I'm saying? And we blink and it's another Friday. You know what I'm saying? We back here again, you know? So, I'm enjoying the Most High gave us another, gave us the days that he gave us. You know what I'm saying? We all pray that the Most High, when the scripture make the time short, you know what I'm saying? Remember the covenant?
Okay.
We look where we are, and I'll say this, the time is getting short. You know what I'm saying? These weeks go fast. It goes fast. Weekly, and you'll blink, and we back to, you get caught up in work so much, and everything you're doing, you blink, and it's like, man, it's Friday already? Like, wow. You know what I'm saying? It was just Friday. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking at these things, and I'm like, God, we need the Father to remember. I look at this. We know that the Most High remember the covenant. You know what I'm saying? Because it's his covenant, right?
True.
The problem is, I think, is we don't remember the covenant. We won't depend on the source, Masaba, that gets us day-to-day where he's supposed to go. We don't remember the source that helps us through the problems that we're going through. We don't use, better word, we don't use it. We don't use the source, the thing that the Most High gave us to be able to get through everything we're going through. We don't do that. We are basically trying to just, whatever feeling we feel or whatever, however something makes you feel, that must be the truth. That must be real, you know?
Okay.
The person that continue to drink, and I can continue to drink because when I'm drinking, it makes me feel good. I'm not thinking. It makes me feel joy or happiness. So I drink. And I believe that drinking is, man, that is the answer to what I'm going through. Or another relationship, man. This person broke my heart, and the answer to it, let me go find me another person that's going to make me happy. So the reason I'm starting there, the topic that we were going to go over, we just touched on that we're on the same page, sir. You're right. Where your mind is at is we're in the same mindset. So now we just got to deliver some great understanding to showing our people a Negroid and Indian set that's on the show, you know what I'm saying? The troubles that they do have. But why we call the Bible a mystery? The Bible's not a mystery because of the words in it. It's a mystery because it's just a bunch of words until you learn how to use it properly. Like any good instructions, the instructions to put something together, if you're trying to figure out how to fix something or how to put it together, that's when instructions are vital. But let you go get a new computer or something, they give you an instruction booklet, what is the first thing you do with those instructions?
Well, most times we throw it away.
Yeah. Throw them away. Put them in the drawer.
I'm going to figure it out.
I'm going to put it in the drawer. I'm going to put it in the drawer for when I really need the instructions. Damn. But that's our take on life. We pull out the Bible when we think that we're going through something because we're waiting for that magic scripture or that magic breakdown that's going to now help me understand what I'm going through. But if you could, DeMarco Wild, so I got you here, man. If we start at Proverbs chapter 4, and I want you to start at verse 1. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 is where I want to get to. But we'll read from Proverbs chapter 1, chapter 4, verse 1 through verse 7. Okay?
Tom, I got you. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. All right. So we're in Proverbs chapter 4, and we're starting at verse 1, which reads, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father." And
of a father. Okay.
"And attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law."
Stop right there for a second. Because where we're starting out is, he told you that hear the instruction of a father and then pay attention, pay attention for the understanding. Is that what it's saying, Gabor?
Con. It's saying, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding."
So I have to pay attention to even no understanding. I got to hear the instruction and then pay attention. I'm listening to what's being said, but I'm also watching what's going on so that I can grow in understanding. I do not want to hear what you're saying, and I'm not trying to be present when the understanding is being shown to me.
Hey, but you know, I'm on this thing now, but we're looking up some of these verses and these other versions, right? I'm not going to do this for every verse, but just find what you're saying. In the Good News Bible, for Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "What I am teaching you is good, so remember it all." That's the Good News Bible. The Common English Version says, "My advice is useful, so don't turn away."
Perfect example. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly what we're saying. Most of the time when you're not taking, it's like somebody showing me something, but I don't take it serious, right?
Done.
Somebody's having a conversation with me about the Spirit, but I don't take it serious. And then I get angry and I'm absent when it's time for me to see and understand why you said that. Why you were telling me this. This is how we grow with understanding, right?
Con.
Read on, Gabor.
Con. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 2. "For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart or mind retain my words, keep my commandments and live."
So you're looking at one thing, even this is Solomon speaking, right?
Yeah, Proverbs. Yeah,
so if this is Proverbs and this is Solomon speaking, Solomon was telling you this is the thing he had to go do. He said he was his father's son. Whatever my father said, that's what I heard. That's what I followed. I was just like my father. I listened and learned from my father. He said he taught me also and said unto me, let your mind retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. This is where it comes from. That means everybody, all of us are taught. We're supposed to be taught the Bible, but also shown the right way of using it so that I grow in understanding. So at every stage in your life, there's an understanding that comes with that stage. Every level of growth in the truth that you go to, there is an understanding that comes with that stage. So, and if you notice how Satan is hitting us hard, because I keep separating people, I separate you from that example that might be able to help you at this stage. in your development or in your journey or whatever you want to call it. You know what I'm saying? Somebody's been where you're going. Somebody's been where you're trying to get to. So that person that I don't want to listen to, most of the time, that's the one the Most High been using to do what?
To teach you.
Yeah, to give you the understanding of that stage that you are going to. But what we've learned to do is we shut off or push away the person that may help me at this stage. And then we turn around like, damn, it was crazy, Michelle. And we were at the summit, and we was like, you know, you're in the summit, and you have brothers coming there, land here, and this is that. And you're like, man, if a brother would have been here with us, we could have did this, that, right?
Right.
And it's like, but you don't see it at the time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, who would have figured, you know, brothers in Belize and all these places? We've been down in Guatemala all this time. But who would have figured, you know, that would be something that could have been built on. That wasn't in the factor in what we've been doing this whole time. You know what I mean? We've been getting out, spreading the truth, doing the whole line. Camps are growing now. You know what's crazy? When we first started Blog Talk, right, I don't think it was thought of. We didn't think of it that serious. You know what I mean? We was street speaking was big. It was street speaking, or if it had been, you know, traveling, opening up schools. But for something to have grown as big as it's grown, and what it's taken every day to prepare to deliver a good class to the whole nine. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't have seen it coming. There's no different than Christ coming back and this shit really getting to the end and how things have gotten. We talked about it, yeah. We read it in the Bible, you know. End times gonna come. But who was really taking it that serious? You know what I'm saying? I'll speak to myself, man. I believe, but it wasn't there yet. So, you know, I was still, you know, dealing with my family and the kids and the ribs, and there was no real development. She has the car. Nobody, you know what I'm saying? No one, I know that no one really took it seriously, but it's hard to take something as serious when it's not in your face. You know what I'm saying? When COVID hit, it got real. You know what I'm saying? Let war break out in America, they shoot a bomb over here. Oh, it's going to get real. You know what I'm saying?
Huh.
Now, when it was about, now we need to get out of America. And all of a sudden, you know, brother, like, yeah, but my job is quit. You know what I'm saying? We need to gather together. Yeah, but I got a nice house over here, man, and I got it comfortable over here. Let that nuke drop or that bomb drop, and all of a sudden you start getting calls out, brother. You know we gotta really gather together. Like, what are you talking about? We've been saying that.
True.
Right.
How much more? Yeah. There you go, Kamar.
Heightens when something traumatic or something that, like you said before, in your face happens, then the sense of urgency becomes important right now.
Right. Yeah, like, oh, this is real.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm like reading. That's like you said, yeah, the Bible's a mystery because you don't take it serious until something happens. Now I'm looking for some scripture, some understanding. So I don't understand. Well, I was giving you the understanding the whole time. You just didn't take it serious until it's in your face now, right? I've been telling you about cultivating your woman. Then when she leave, okay, now we're here. You know what I'm saying? But when I gave it to you, They were just words in a book. There were some scriptures you were writing down. You know what I'm saying? The whole time you've been taking notes rather than living the book and really learning so that when this situation comes, I know I am prepared for this situation or this time. How we're not prepared, that's what makes the book a mystery. It ain't the vowels and the B's and the V's. That ain't it. It's only a mystery because you're not seeing the significance of what is being told to you and how vital it is for you to be able to now keep living your life. This is your path to the kingdom, and you don't realize that you're not taking the source that gets you to the kingdom serious. So let me go back real quick. Now read verse 7 now. Okay?
Come, just go ahead and jump.
Five through seven. I'm sorry. Verse 5.
Come. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5 reads, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth.
Don't ever leave the words of my mouth. Don't decline. Don't start reading less than the Bible. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what we normally end up doing. People start out in class 6 days a week. The class of the stream is to go 6 days a week. We was in class 6 days a week.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't in class, you was in Blog Talk. You were in at the street speaking, or whatever's going on in this class, you was there, or being in council all night. We were not supposed to decline from the words of his mouth. Verse 6.
Come, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee.
See?
Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding.
So we understand that it's the principal thing. Wisdom is the correct way to apply what you've learned. So this whole time, the reason why you didn't decline from the words of my mouth or the things that you were learning, so that someone now could show me the correct way to apply what it is that I've learned. This is what you read this? Now this is how you use it. I gave you that class so you can use it at this point. I taught you this so that this is the time that you use it. That's the principal thing. He said, therefore, get wisdom. With all that getting, get understanding. It's verse 8.
Come, exalt her, and she shall promote thee.
Uh-huh.
She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her.
So he said, man, wisdom would exalt you. Wisdom would promote you. That means if somebody showed me the right way to use the things that I've learned, that would exalt me. If someone showed me the right way of using the things that I was taught, that's going to promote me. That's what's going to bring me the honor. But I have to embrace the instruction. I have to embrace the guidance. I'm fighting the guidance. I'm like, bro, you studying? I'm mad at the quick. Yeah, I'm studying. Yeah, I'm in the book studying every day. Okay. So if you're studying and this is going on, oh, I see the problem. You're not around, so I can show you what you need to read for this situation.
Con, I agree with that. Yeah, Con.
You know what I'm saying? Yes, you can tell me you're studying. But if you're not reading the proper things, then no matter what you read, the problem is not that you're reading or you're not reading. It's whatever you've read, you don't know what to read to apply to this certain situation.
So, like, is it like this, like let me see, get a good example. So, Christ said, a man's foe should be David's own household. Don't think God comes in peace, and I came in peace for this war. So I don't want to bring in that example of, so like in a famine situation. So if in a famine situation, things are bumpy. In a famine situation, things ain't going good. And I'm studying about the color of Christ.
Yeah.
How was me studying about the color of Christ gonna help me and help me get my house together and whatever things might be going on in the house that have absolutely nothing to do with the color of Christ, but I'm studying about the color of Christ so that if somebody asks me about the color of Christ, I can answer it.
One of us 13. Have to do with your woman, throwing your food out, throwing your clothes. I'm like, what the? I don't understand how you. What are you getting from this? And what about that scripture would have helped you deal with what you're going through? Obviously, somebody then got to show you, okay, no, don't go to this scripture, but there's a better scripture to go to. Let's go here and here and here to deal with the situation. Let's go to your conduct and how you deal it, all right? Let's go to what you could have did differently. Let's go. If anything, being in Albuquerque, and we were supposed to go to Council Mashaba with a young brother about his old girl. And the council turns from what she's doing to what you're doing. Then the
right,
tears
right.
started coming, and then all of a sudden now he left, and you ain't. You would think we just did this brother dirty. You know what I'm saying? Because he did not come around. He did not want to be around. You know what I'm saying? But he wanted to be there when he thought we was going to be going into agreeing with him about his woman and her actions and not using the wisdom and going to the Bible and say, well, this right here caused this situation to happen. If you stop doing this, like the Bible says, this won't happen. That's when men decline from hearing the words of your mouth. When the Father says, we will decline. You understand what I'm saying? Good. What did you say?
No, bro. I'm agreeing with you. I'm in full agreement with you.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm looking at as I start going over this. I'm like, okay, you go through your issues, and the Father's like, okay, what you need to do is you need to go back to listening and letting someone show you how to use the book, because obviously you hit this wall. And you hit a wall because of your lack of understanding. And then you got brothers are studying. They're in the book, they're reading. I'm not just studying, you're reading. You know, a lot of reading. Don't know what you're going to use until that situation comes up and then somebody shows you how to use what you've read. And I have to be humble enough. That's where the humility comes in. Am I humble enough to let someone show me how to use the things that I'm reading, the words that are in this book? Verse 6 says, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee.
Time.
So we're looking at this whole thing, and the Father's like, man, if somebody would have, I would just let someone die. Then I would grow in understanding because you said, hey, there's a reason why I go to the scripture. This is why. This is when you need this. Man, the Spirit's not working with me. I don't know what. When a man says, please the Father, that's a mystery to somebody, y'all. Huh? When a man says, please the Father, he make your enemies a piece of me.
And do me a favor.
That verse is
a
mystery.
And pour the lime juice in there also.
Becomes a mystery because I don't know how to apply what you're telling me. Or when do I need to apply this now to my life?
So if you forsake, because when you look up the definition of forsake, that means to abandon. To abandon. Yeah. So you just I don't understand it, so I'm just going to forget about it. Because you haven't been taught or you haven't listened to how to apply the scriptures in the book to solve the mystery. So in that's the reasoning behind the forsake her not. Don't, when you come to a problem, forsake the Bible, you know, because you don't know how to find the solution or how to apply the solution, which is always in the scripture, to solve the problem.
Hey, do me a favor. Now,
before we go there, does what's that, Jeremiah 3:18, is that what, 3:15?
So Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15 reads, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding."
So one of the things that we just focused on and was bringing out was Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, where it says, "Wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But with all that getting, get understanding." That a lot of times this Bible is a mystery to a lot of us, because a person thinks they're just going to pick the Bible up by themselves, and because they read something, then they will get understanding. But the Most High tells you how we're going to get the understanding. From where you started, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 down, it was a father talking to a son. Don't forget the words of my mouth. Don't forget what I'm teaching you. I'm giving you good understanding. I'm giving you something for you to incline. What I'm teaching you, don't forget that even in all this, there's got to be a guide that someone's got to be able to show. This, most times I'm going to give you pastors, according to my heart, which shall feed you with that knowledge and understanding of understanding how and when to apply this scripture, understanding how and when to apply that scripture. In another example, I'm kind of leaning on Gabar right now with his karate background. If the Most High says in Hebrews 4 and 12 that the Bible is a sword, that the Word of God is like a sword.
God.
And using a sword in martial arts, anybody can pick a sword up and just swing it, right? Like a white belt.
Time. Can, yeah, as far as pick up a sword and swing it.
But now, is it not going to take that black belt to now show that white belt how to use the sword in different situations? How to now use the sword in... I'm gonna leave it at that. In different situations, hey Gabar, if you got anything to shine out, please bring it up.
Well, you have to be taught. You know, you have to be taught what situations to use any kind of weapon. But since we're dealing with the sword, you can't just pick up a sword and start willing and swinging and cutting. Because, for one, what is the situation? You haven't been brought up you haven't been taught the understanding. You can't just, it's like I'm getting ready to go into a fight, and I'm gonna take a sword with me, but I don't have any knowledge or wisdom or understanding on how to use a sword.
I don't have any experience.
Any experience, and say you are studying martial arts and you do have a teacher, but when the teacher tries to tell you, well, you know, in what situations, and starts to teach you, you don't want to listen. You want to go off of impulse. You want to go off of anger. And not listening. Now, I don't care what you say. I'm taking the sword and I'm gonna do some damage with it. But you have no idea of how to use it, no experience at all. And in that,
and then somebody takes the sword from you and winds up putting you with your own sword.
Right.
You don't even know how to hold the damn sword.
They take a stick, which I'm like, you don't even take a stove, or take a switch on the dull wooden end of the thing and whip you with it.
God.
But that's how much you know how to use. Yes, it's a weapon, but you don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, no,
you don't know how to hold it. Right. You don't realize it comes from footing to everything else. You just think it's about putting your hand and swinging.
Not to mention the conditioning, the simple, the base.
Right.
Conditioning to be able to hold it.
Bro, that's what
that
master takes that sword.
The
master takes it. Sorry, take the sword, Gabar. He takes the sword and give you a stick.
You
practice with this, because you can't do damage with a stick, let alone this sword. Because you just swing it, because you can barely hold it up.
Matter of fact, go paint the fence, and we. And when you paint the fence, you can do it just like this.
Right.
Wrist up, wrist down. Wrist up, wrist down. You don't just do that around this whole gym. Because your muscles ain't been trained to be able to hold the stick, let alone the sword.
Bro, hey, Michelle, that's going to be funny. This could be funny, all right. But I'm going to come into the truth. Remember, Gabar, we used to have the security training in Albuquerque, Moorhead Park. I was training with you and our squad. I thought I was on some level, like, I had the nunchucks, bro. We had we had everything, bro. So one day I had to go to the park with Ariella. I took Ariella to the park, right?
Right.
And I spent the whole drive I'm bragging about, man, we work with the staffs and we got ability to teach the nunchucks. And Ariella was, he's like, you know that old Chinese dude rubbing his beard? I was like, okay, So we get to the park. And you remember me, and I was, I think maybe 190 pounds, all muscle, like the 28-inch waist, all workouts. And then he was training with martial arts. So Ariella said, you know what, man, what's he ran like at least, I think it was 2 miles on that track. He was stretching. He said, man, why don't you do these bear crawls with me? I'm sorry, but it's just bear crawls.
Okay.
We started with the bear crawls, and I think I got about half the track, or not the track, half the field. It was on a little soccer football field. I got about half the field, I'm dying. But then we started doing some, just messing around, like, you know, kicks, sort of, just kind of, he asked, what did y'all learn? So I'm thinking, I'm going to show brother what we've been doing up here. I remember I had just learned to do a sweeping roundhouse kick.
Yeah.
I learned how to do a Gabar kick. I do the roundhouse, run kick, side. So I'm doing my little kick. I do a roundhouse, and Ariella swept under me and hit my foot. I bust my ass. Dirt ass grass on the back of my head, all up my face, and I was like, man, I sat back and said, you know what? The whole time I've been underestimating. Like, I'm seeing this dude know more than he let on. Cause he smiled all the time. He wasn't muscle bound built. You know what I'm saying? He just smiled all the time, Mike. And I was tripping out to see when he started training. I was like, nobody. I mean, he led the run. Nothing but an example of strength through the run. The workout, led the workout the whole time. I don't remember. I could remember doing a horse stand, and we was crying. I'd be 5-10 minutes into the horse stand, we was crying. I can remember, but I remember you, Cole Cobb, and Mashaba had just gotten there from California. But all that time, y'all had been on the beach. So what could we say? Y'all didn't budge from the horse stand. It wasn't like y'all was coming up and going down you know what I'm saying? But we was, all I can look is like you had no excuse because the person you was following, there was a mental discipline that had grown there. that they had developed, that had been developed, that the whole time I'm like, man, this, there's an example for us on how to use the wisdom of the Most High. And the crazy thing is, Mashallah, the whole workout, nothing but scriptures were quoted the whole workout. Any apostles to the chosen? I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what the Bible's a mystery. You saying words, but I don't understand the words coming out your mouth. How do I apply this scripture when I'm down in my legs and my legs are on fire? How do I apply these scriptures when my stomach is hurting because I'm on this long run? They're foreign words, but they work because you're doing it. They work because you're using the same source, and you have a different outcome than I do. That's when this is about. The most, I'm like, it's not about what you, it's not about what you're reading or saying. It's about, are you using it? Are you using this to get you through this? And 90% of the time, we don't know what sayings. And I'm going to read this right here real quick. Hold on. I'm going to read this. It says, Hear, O my son. This is Proverbs 4:10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. It says, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. This is about being guided. This is about somebody teaching me how to use the things that they've learned. This is what we're going to break down now. You have to now be shown how to use it. What a lot of young men do is they get the class, the breakdowns, right, and they get the classes. So, yes, you know the Bible, no doubt, bro. You got it. You've memorized those scriptures. You know that break, those breakdowns. But what messes every man up is you leave before somebody could instruct you. So somebody can teach you how to use it. It says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I haven't got a chance to teach you how to use what you've learned the right way. You have to be led. I have led thee in right paths. You haven't allowed yourself to be led down the right path.
Okay.
Yes. All doubt, you do have the breakdown. You do understand. You got it. You have memorized it. But when it was time for me to lay down that path, I was absent from the being led down the path. We're traveling. We're rolling together. Okay, what's the right path to take? What's the right thing to do? I haven't allowed myself to let anyone lead me down the path of doing the right thing. Make sense?
I'm with that
100%, Khan. So the crazy thing is, it says, I'm reading verse 13 to 14, I'm going to get off this one, right? It says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Meaning, the only way you can now avoid that path is by letting someone lead you down the right path. If I haven't allowed someone to lead me down the right path, then the only path to take is the path of the wicked. That's what you're talking about, the blind leading the blind.
True.
I've walked down this wrong path So now the only thing that I can do, being it from the world, I can either lead someone down the wrong path or I'm going to follow people down the wrong path. Because with the Bible, somebody using the book, they're helping me walk down the right path. But how do I know that I'm on the wrong path? So that would be the argument. How do you know that your path is the right path and my path ain't the right path? I'm going to go to Isaiah.
Okay, yeah. Come on.
Let's go here real quick. We go to Isaiah chapter 8. All right. Isaiah chapter 8, the bar.
I got you. And 8.
Let's start at verse 8. Hold on a second. I'm going to start at verse hold on a second, y'all. I want you to start a verse of start verse 9, okay?
Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 9 reads.
And you're going to read down to verse 14, okay? Verse 15.
Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 14 reads.
Eight and verse nine. And then you're gonna read that. Matter of fact, you're gonna read down to verse 16. I'm not gonna interrupt too much. I want you to flow through it, okay? So read that.
Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 9 reads. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourself, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us.
I mean, at this time, you got people that was speaking against. Everybody was trying to come together. We all say the same thing, we all do the same thing, then it's gotta work. Gotta work. I'm reading. I'll let them as we start reading this through. Because this is what we believe. We believe that if we're all confederate together, and we all believe the same thing, and we all say the same thing, it must work. If I didn't follow what the Bible says, I'm kind of following what everybody's saying, and because everybody's saying it, they're doing it. It must be spiritual. It must be right.
True. True, Con.
Will I read on?
Con, verse 9. Well, actually, I just had a little issue real quick.
Yeah, it's verse 11.
Verse 11. Con.
For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye.
Go ahead, finish it. Nor be afraid, right?
Fine.
But this is where a lot of times as men and women we get caught up, because we look at what everybody is saying this, what everybody is feeling this body. Okay. I'm gonna mute this damn thing. Okay. I was gonna say, a lot that we get caught up in is the fact that We're instructed, but we're instructed because everybody is, this is what everybody's doing. It's not about always the using the, somebody showing me how to use the Bible down this path, but if everybody's doing this, then this must be right. This must be the way of the Most High. So we read Isaiah said, for the Lord spake thus to me with his strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Read verse 13.
Con. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 13 reads, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread.
Most of us be afraid with men's fear. We look and say, I'm more worried about being how men will look at me. Somebody's going to look at what I'm doing, or everybody's against the fact that I'm more worried about what the Most High thinks more than I'm worried about what everybody else thinks. And a lot of times we worry about what everybody else thinks more than we worry about how the Most High feels about something.
You know, but I was going over the same scripture in one of my classes, and in agreeing with you, definitely in agreeing with you, but it's also saying, like, say ye not a confederacy. And when we look this word up, another word for confederacy is a conspiracy. So it says, say ye not a conspiracy to all them to whom the people have said a conspiracy. That a lot of times we get so caught up in we'll be looking at what everybody else is doing in the world. But we're looking like, let me see here. We'll look at the Illuminati and be like, see what they're doing? See what they're doing? It's a conspiracy. And now we go around looking for all these conspiracy theories,
right.
And we let that be our fear, because that's what the world is going through. That's what the world is feeling. That's what people who don't know the Bible is going through, and they're all caught up in these type of things and looking for the Beyonce has got the devil eye rock
right.
Nation symbol and the colors and everything.
And the checkered floors and
right. Now we're looking at all these type of things and now we have a fear about that conspiracy, but we don't have a fear of the Most High.
And
because everybody else is saying it's scared of this and everybody else is feeling this and you know, the jab.
Yeah, man.
Oh, okay, cool. But you know what? Do y'all remember when Paul, and doing the work of the Most High, was bit by a viper?
And
he shook the viper into the fire and kept going?
Thank God.
I'm not even saying he got the jab, but if the Most High wanted him to die, he would have died.
Can I go down? I know what you're saying.
The Most High gave the disciples power to walk over scorpions and serpents. But because we get so caught up into the conspiracies, because that's what everybody else is doing, because we don't know how to use the Bible. We don't know how to apply the Bible. Now, we let the fear of what everybody else is afraid of, what everybody else is thinking, because the Bible is a mystery, that now we're looking for conspiracies. Now we're looking for the next conspiracy thing or whatever. Because somebody is not taking the Bible, taking these scriptures, and showing me how to apply the Bible in this situation. That now the conspiracy of the chemtrails, and they're contaminating the air.
True.
And you know what? The monster said that all the foundations of the earth are out of course, that all the earth is defiled thereof. That's what the Most High said. Go ahead.
No, I was going to chip what you said on that, man, because it made me think about some of the groups like GOCC. I watched them teach from a screen, or they have the elders reading on the Sabbath day,
right.
And they believe that that is enough for that person going through the path they're going down. As long as they come to class on the Sabbath day, that should be enough. But from what I'm reading, if you know, all of us be confederate or together, and they're big on the conspiracy. They believe that half the people on the earth now is dropping a dead because they got the jab.
God.
They believe that they turn everybody into zombies. Like when I talk to my cousins, like literally heavy on, like you said, the conspiracies. Let me send you all these videos. I got more videos about conspiracies than I do scriptures from them. So whoever's feeding them is feeding them a lot of things that are going on to make them afraid. But there's not a lot of scriptures being shown to them. Because you would think with all these videos that you're bringing out, class would go on 7 days a week then. You know what I'm saying? These people should be calling you and looking on their life, and you guide them the right direction. But you have all these conspiracies coming out, and you have class for 2 hours, and you're not even there. You just have some brother read a pamphlet of scriptures that you sent out for everybody to go and read on the Saturday. So I'm agreeing.
And the Bible continues to be a mystery. Then now the answer is, because of these conspiracies, you know what? We need to, like me and Gabriel was having this thought. We need to stack, like going back to stream of knowledge, we should be stacking food. You know, let me not even take it there. For everybody who was stacking food in New Orleans when Katrina hit, because we know Armageddon is coming, and we know the last day is coming, so we need to stack food here in New Orleans. When they broke the levees, all that food that got stacked up, what happened to it?
It went underwater.
But for many people, the answer was, we're going to stack up this pantry, and this is going to take care of us. This is going to be our safety because of the conspiracy. But now, when that water came through, what y'all do then? When they forced everybody up out, when you was forced out your house, what then?
You couldn't believe.
And we're more focused on the conspiracies and how I got to dodge and get around these conspiracies because I have a fear of that. As opposed to somebody get my head straight in these scriptures, as opposed to somebody getting my head straight in how the Most High actually does things, all we're left with is everybody talking about come up with a plan for this disaster, a plan for this happens, a plan for that happens, but that got nothing to do with of all those solutions are based out of fear, but it's not based out of a fear of the Most High.
We're not in that mind frame, Michelle, to say, what is it that the Most High want? He wants Israel to serve him righteously. Okay, let's make the focus getting everybody dealing with individuals and make sure that they're right with the Father, helping them make sure they overcome the battles they're having to go through to stay right with the Father. We don't do that. We more focused on, let's get some land. Matter of fact, let's get out of America, Java, and get some land out of America. See, that would be the answer if Christ did say, flee the mountains. He told them, those in the city, flee to the mountains. So the answer would be, let's flee. But, you know, the crazy thing is, you look at what's going on today, you got people that's in the mountains, you got people in these other countries trying to flee over here.
Kind of.
They're walking it. They standing in lines like it's the food bank, huh? You don't see a few people at the border sneaking over. You literally see a line of people. We ain't even sneaking no more. There's too many people to sneak in now. But you look at it, you look at one thing we're not focusing on. Giving the Father what it is he wants. It's not how many people know the truth. is how many people walking on the right path? Because that's what this is supposed to have been about. How many people are really growing in wisdom? How many people are really using the Bible the right way? Well, I don't know that, because that would take me having to lead you down this path. But we stopped leading down the path, and now we have the, like that old saying, the blind leading the blind.
True.
That is what's going on now, because I haven't really let someone lead me down the path. So now, or when I was supposed to be allowing someone to lead me down a path, it was more about not walking down that path with this person. It was more about, I got the Bible. I know how to serve the Most High also. No doubt. No doubt you do got the Bible. But the way to serve the Father is to allow someone to show you how to walk down that righteous path, to go this path the right way. Read verse 14 real quick.
Come on. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 14 reads, "And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem."
So for the ones that are trying to follow the conspiracies or be Confederate, right? If I'm reading it right, this truth of following the Most High, truly serving the Most High, is a stone of stumbling, a rock of defense, right?
Yeah. A rock of offense.
Right. Yes, because verse 15 says, "And many among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken." Because they're more caught up on the conspiracy than making sure they're doing the things that they're walking down the right path and honoring and serving the Father.
Okay.
Verse 16 says, "Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples." So I'm reading there, the student, right, a real student, he said, we're supposed to be sealing the law. Make sure that we're all, you know, look at that. Instead of making sure that we meet once every 3 months, and I'm not trying to direct anybody to say this person's off or that group is wrong, because that's not the point. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm starting to realize is that there are a lot of groups that, as Israelites right now, we're good at doing the minimum now, right? We make sure that we do. We make sure we come together on the Sabbath day, things like that. We do meet up. We'll meet up every 3 months, you know what I'm saying, to breakfast together, have dinner together, you know, kind of hang out and sell merchandise with each other. But if I don't see you in 3 months, if I see you every 3 months, and then in those 3 months, when my woman leaves, who helps me? In those 3 months, I get sick, who helps me? In those 3 months, most I forbid, I go to jail, something happened. Who's leading me down the right path in how to deal with these situations that they come up? That's what's supposed to be going on. But without that, I'm blind. This Bible becomes a mystery. Let that one go. Go to Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 30, okay? I'm going to get to the point on these two, man, because I'm running out of time. Ezekiel chapter 33.
Ezekiel chapter 33. And verse 30, right?
Right.
Yep. So Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 30 reads, "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses,
Speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do this. For with their mouth they show much love, but their mind or heart goeth after their covetousness.
Okay, so when you look at this, that is what we've been doing. We've been bringing the congregations together, right? We're bringing the congregations together. We're going out to every street corner and every place and saying, come, I pray you, hear the word that cometh forth from the Lord. Come read the Bible. Come learn your nationality. Come learn who you are. And now people are coming. More fringes have been put on. More headbands are put in. More head covers. More dresses. Facebook is fading out, but how many Israelite groups? Like, you have Israelite singles. You have the Israelite art group. You know what I'm saying? You have the Israelite music group. You have the debate teams. You know what I'm saying? You have so many things out there that people know who they are. You have the health and the nutrition groups. We know who we are. We've heard the word. But when it's time to do it, when it's time to give your mind to doing what the scriptures tell you to do, we can tell that the reason why there are so many different groups, because when it's time for me to do something that I don't want to do, that's when I go, I won't do it. I'll go to a group that'll allow me to just keep hearing the word, not make changes. I don't have to clean up my mind. My mind goes after what I want. I'm hearing the book, but my mind is taking me, and I'm going after what I want.
Okay.
That's why the brother, that's it's not the fact that you got to be a good teacher. You just have to now stick to teaching those topics and going over things that don't really make this person do this or that. Some groups demand more change, and whenever you're a group or you're demanding more change, your attendance is going to be small. That is the nature of change. You are going to keep people are going to keep leaving, not because of what you did or what you said. It's because it's something that it's a change that you demand that they're not willing to change. Read verse 32.
Con, Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 32 reads, and lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them.
So we have gotten, to know the truth is an elegant thing. Now we the Israelites are the Lord's chosen people. Now we were the Christ has come back to save us. Oh, that's a lovely song. It is a lovely song, man. And you have men that can, man, make it sound good. It make you proud to be an Israelite. You want to be an Israelite girded up. Got your purple and gold on, or your black and silver on, or your blue and white on, whatever your color is, right? But the hardest part of this thing is they hear the word, but they do it not. is change is not an easy thing. And those groups that demand more change are always going to be smaller. Larger groups, because they're not demanding so much change. If I only kind of come to the Sabbath day, if you see me on the Sabbath day, then and I pop in for whatever class you're going over, you're not requiring much change from me. You don't even know what about me needs to be changed. It's different when you're with someone every day. You work with them. You travel with them. You're working with them. You're in class with them every day. They're on the job together every day. You know their family, the whole nine. Those are going to be the groups that are always going to have the smaller numbers because there's more change that is required. From there, go to Proverbs 29 and verse 1.
Proverbs chapter 29, starting at verse 1. Read.
You went real low, sir.
Okay. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1 reads, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed."
Stop right there. Because that's why the numbers are always, that's why the numbers are smaller in these groups that really work that close with one another. Because that man is going to be reproved. He's going to be often reproved. We in Albuquerque, working together from TQM to the fair, the flea market, TQM, class every day. We were connected, family and friends and everything else. Kids is watched by this sister. Because of so together, all of the activities that they did together, people were often reproved. And the more I'm getting checked, I start to harden my neck. All of a sudden now, it's hard to break me. You ain't going to break me. I start getting numb to the correction. Yeah. I know that. That's what you do. You're a Bible bully. But what you're going to do is you're going to try to hit me with all these scriptures to bully me. The most I said, the only things that will happen to that person, they're going to suddenly be destroyed. And that means that destruction without remedy.
Which means there ain't going to be nothing you can do to fix it.
Right.
Right.
It's going to be too late, Con.
That's it. Because you took the reproving, the correction. It didn't humble you. It's supposed to humble you. It's supposed to make you stop and understand that someone. Michelle, I'm sorry, man. Proverbs 29 and 1, give me the good news version.
Proverbs 29
and 1. You know what I'm saying? Because when I'm reading it, you know what one of those scriptures are? He that often reproved is as often reproved. Reproved is not a word you normally use. You know what I'm saying?
True.
His neck. It's one of those words that you often don't nobody say if you use that word no more. I'm gonna reprove you. You know what I'm saying?
True.
I mean a common word of what that scripture is saying.
Okay. Okay, here's the Bible in basic English for Proverbs 29 verse 1. It says, "A man hating sharp words and making his heart hard will suddenly be broken and will not be made well again."
Wow.
Now let's get the CEV. Go ahead. Please, go ahead.
No. Please, bring me up because you're making it more simple, and the more simplified it is, like, this was happening. It's exactly what's happening. We run from those groups that correct. We run from that group. We'll go ahead and read it.
Here goes the common English version. The common English version says, "If you keep being stubborn after many warnings, you will suddenly discover you have gone too far."
You will discover. You will come to grips with.
You finally found yourself out there. You finally realized, damn, I done went too far. Whatever was in my head that I'm holding on to, look where I'm at, man. It put me on the outside. I'm destroying myself. But you're going to figure out the only person that's been hurting you is you. You're in the condition that you're in because you've taken it this far rather than changing.
After many warnings.
Wow.
Here goes the Good News Bible. Here goes the Good News Bible. This is what we love, the Good News Bible. If you get more stubborn, every time you are corrected, one day you will be crushed and never recover.
Wow. I learned to be stubborn. And all that correction, instead of taking the correction, I've learned to be stubborn. And there is no coming back from that. You will find yourself on the other side because you were just stubborn. You don't change. Somebody help me understand a stubborn person. Is it I could be telling you the changes you need to do and you still going to do what you want to do?
That is exactly what it is.
When somebody's trying to guide you the right way, somebody's trying to give you the understanding, somebody's trying to tell you, give you the understanding why what you're doing is wrong. Why, what the in the long run, you're going to wind up like this. But nope, I ain't going to have no man over me. Ain't nobody can tell me what to do.
Yeah.
No. Let's keep it 100. Me and the Most High got to approach you.
Come on, bro. You just have a problem with, brother. You mad that I don't want to follow you. I'm following the Most High. You trip on the fact that this is about following you. That's how you be thinking. But you know we have a personal relationship with the Most High. You know, when I praise my Father, the Father, my Jesus always, he answered my prayers.
You just like that. You remember the song by Depeche Mode? Your own personal Jesus. Remember that? Do you remember that?
Man. I got this thing in my mind that you are just jealous, man. You always trying to tear me down. You'll never have nothing good. You can't just be happy for me on anything, huh?
Right. Was it King Ahab? Yeah, Khan.
It'd be that spirit. That's gonna harden my neck. I'm not. I know. When you say something to me, that's why I go over here. And you know the worst. I'm telling you, the worst curse. The worst curse of Israel is multiple camps. That was a curse. It wasn't a blessing. You know why I say it wasn't a blessing? Because the one thing that it gave people that were getting corrected the chance to do is I don't really have to know nothing about you, right? But you can run from this camp. And if you don't like the fact that the Most High had somebody rebuking you, they went to your house and they're like, brother, what you eating, man? What you eating? Oh, just a little pepperoni pizza? Hold on, man. Let me show you this in the Bible lot. The Most High said, this is unclean to you, man. The Most High said, any man that eats this is going to be destroyed. That's why I like bringing that brother to my house. Because he'd be trying to check me in front of my woman. Or in front of my kid. Like he's trying to embarrass me. So you know what I would do? That's why I stopped going to that camp. Because you know what? Don't be trying to get too personal in your life. If somebody wasn't personal in your life, how would you know that you're walking down the right path?
Or the wrong path. How are you going to know? if you don't have someone that has that experience, how would you know either way? Right?
I want you to read something for me, man, the Apocrypha, right? It's Wisdom of Solomon chapter 1 and verse 1, right? This is
Wisdom of Solomon.
Yeah, Wisdom of Solomon, right? Chapter 1. Hold on a second, y'all. Wisdom of Solomon chapter 1 and verse 1, all right? Read that.
Come, Wisdom of Solomon in the Apocrypha chapter 1 and verse 1 reads, Love righteousness. Ye that be judges of the earth. Think of the Lord with a good heart or a good mind, and in simplicity of mind or heart, seek him. For he will be found of them that tempt him not, and showeth himself unto such as do not distrust him. For froward thoughts separate from the Most High. And his power, when it is tried, reproveth the unwise.
So, you know, I liked about this answer, forward thoughts separate from the Most High. A lot of our negative thoughts will separate us. The fact that my negative outlook separates me from the Most High. I'm not getting closer, you're not getting wiser. Those anti-thoughts or a forward thought? I'm sorry. We'll keep reading, because that's the point I want to get to is 5. That's what I really wanted. Read that. Keep reading, Gabar.
For into a malicious and malicious soul, let me start that again. For into a malicious soul, wisdom shall not enter, nor dwell in the body that is subject unto sin.
So, and we can look in there. You know, no understanding is coming to this person. If I have a malicious spirit, he said, wisdom shall not enter. I mean, you're not, it's personal. And a lot of times we change up, but we can't follow, we can't get in order because we've made this personal rather than just hearing to understand. And then it says, nor wisdom can't dwell in a body that is subject unto sin. I'm still out here doing negative, and I think that wisdom is working with me. It doesn't work like that. Verse 5.
For the Holy Spirit of discipline will flee deceit and remove from thoughts that are without understanding.
He said, and remove from thoughts. It runs away from minds or thought, your way of thinking, that doesn't have any understanding.
And
will not abide with unrighteousness comes in. But I like the point is wisdom. It's like the wisdom removes itself from thoughts that are without understanding, or the Spirit does. For the Holy Spirit of discipline will flee the sea, and it removes from thoughts that are without understanding. You're not growing in wisdom because you're not letting anybody develop your understanding. The Spirit is leaving you. You have not allowed anyone to develop your understanding. From there, go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17 real quick, right? Let that go and go to Ephesians 4 and 17 real fast.
Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17 reads, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind.
You walk in a place that has no value. You live a life that's not profitable. You live in a mindset that's not profitable to you. It doesn't build your spirit. It doesn't help you spiritually. It doesn't develop a relationship between you and the Father. People that walk in this world, all the Gentiles, they walk with their minds on their bills. They walk with their minds on what car they got or what home they got or what their friends think about them. Their minds walk in worldly things. They mind live in world, just thinking about what's going on in the world and not growing their understanding. They're not trying to build that relationship and be more found, more right in the eyes of the Father. Their mind is not there. Read 17 and 18 together. You there, Gabor?
Time.
I'm there. I'm here.
Ephesians chapter 4, and what was the next verse where we were at?
It was 17, 18.
I lost it. Hello?
I got it. Gabor, are you good, man?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
And I mean, your phone. You all right?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Phone dropped. Okay, let me get this. Let me get it. Okay. Go ahead and let me get that verse one more time.
Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17 and then verse 18.
Fine. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17 reads, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of the Most High through the ignorance."
I want you to read this. Start at verse 14.
Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14 reads, "We henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive."
And you know that he said we're not supposed to be like children anymore. It's to and fro. One minute we believe our righteousness is based on what, I'm not saying what a man says, but it'll be this direction. If we're all going this direction, and you know we're all make sure we're on the Saturday and we follow the new moon and all this and that, we're good. And I'm not saying that it's wrong, but a lot of people stop there. And I want to join the camp. I want to join the group, man, that only only have to meet once a week. You know, I follow the high holy days, and I only have to go to Sabbath class. And then even when I don't want to go to Sabbath class anymore, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find a group that just stays home on the Sabbath day. They believe that if you turn the lights off, you don't start a car, you don't turn your oven on, you just lay there all Sabbath day. And because I do that, I'm right with the Father. Not that I'm wrong. Not that that's wrong. But it's like I'm looking for the group that makes things easier for me. If I'm a woman, I want a man. I'm joining groups because I'm trying to find the group that has the best-looking guys. You know what I'm saying? Well, I talked to some brother that I met on Israelite Meet. And he's with IUIC. Man, he looks good. You know what? I started watching IUIC videos so we can just have conversations. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm hoping that he becomes my husband. It has nothing to do with serving the Most High, man. That's what children do, man. That's childish. To play with your salvation like that? That's childish. Well, I'm trying to find the group where all the businessmen are. You know what I'm saying? Because they have Israel Business, you know what I'm saying? The IsraelBusiness.com group or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And I'm trying to find the camp. I found the camp of brothers that they drive the trucks, they do this and that. So I'm going to join that group. I'm going to join that camp so I can be affiliated, a part of that group. That's childish. That's how we pick our schools. That's how we choose to follow people, based off of what similar interests we have. We don't do it for righteousness. But read on now. Now read down. Read on, Gabar.
Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 reads, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Yahushua."
Go ahead.
"From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love."
If I'm reading this right, we were supposed to be going to a body that works together, that every joint supplies, right?
Huh.
Every person is supposed to bring their brick to this body. But he wasn't talking about the body of this group or the body of that group. It was supposed to be the point when we first came to the truth. There wasn't this group, that group. It was only one group. It was one group of men serving the Father. One body of brothers and sisters that served the Most High. Now read verse 17.
That's true.
Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17 reads, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind."
But is why we get so much division. We're only divided because we're doing like the other churches do in the world. When the Mormons disagree with other Mormons, what do? They open up the Latter-day Saints, right? The Latter-day Saints that are break off on the Mormon church. Because it used to be the Mormon church. Then they became the Mormon church of Latter-day Saints. You had one Christian church, one Catholic church, the very first Baptist church. How you get the second? How you going somebody go right across the street and open up the second Baptist church? Across the street? You know what I'm saying? Like, what was wrong with the first one? We have a second Baptist church across the street because the person that opened up the second Baptist church didn't agree with something or didn't want to lock in and follow the leader of the first Baptist church. Then we got the third Baptist church. We got the Baptist church around the corner. We broke off from the first and the second Baptist church, and we opened up the Baptist church around the corner. Then we opened up the Baptist church down the street. That's how the world operates. The Most High said that we henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of your mind. Verse 18 says, having the understanding darkened. That's how the Gentiles operate. I've allowed my understanding to be darkened, being alienated from the light of the Most High through the ignorance that is in them. That is how the Gentiles walk. because of the blindness of their heart, because I didn't allow someone to lead me through this problem. Somebody needed to lead brothers through humility. Somebody needed to lead brothers through being, you said, unified. Show me how to stay unified. Listen, brother, this is what you got to do to stay unified. But since ain't nobody doing the leading, no one's leading, so everybody is operating from the blindness of their mind. Who being past feeling, I'm in verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. I'm going to stop there because this is the truth. The truth is I've given myself to all these things, but I haven't allowed someone to teach me Christ. Teach me how Christ lived his life, how Christ, the choices that Christ made. I have not allowed that to be taught to me. So with that, we going to end it there, man, for the night, man. It's getting good. I think it's going to be a great topic, a great class, a great direction to go in, because it's time for us to get to that point that we grow in understanding. So with that, we'll get with them another Sabbath day on next Friday and carry us out. So wild of a song.
Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our Father.